There actually is a choice of forms of this gospel passage from John. We break off the Markan cycle and go to John. You can have a short version and a long version, but I want to talk about the long version because I think it is really illustrates in all kinds of particulars what Lent is supposed to do for us or what we're supposed to do for Lent. So Samaria was this region between Galilee and Judea, right in the middle of Palestine. And especially the Judean Jews, where Jerusalem was, thought that Samaritans were kind of half-breeds. They had their own temple. They worship on a different mountain than the authentic Jews, in quotation marks, in Jerusalem or Galilee. So there's real animus there between these groups. And so it is extraordinary that Jesus, a Jew, first of all would talk to a woman in public, which is also not done, but talk to a Samaritan woman. What does that mean when somebody talks to you as opposed to someone talking at you? Which is, I think, our experience most of the time. You go in the principal's office, the principal talks at you. You sit in class often enough, the teacher talks at you. You know, the boss talks at you. And we know that experience. And usually something in our brain just shuts down. Here we go. So you just sort of and wait it through. But to be addressed seriously is a totally different thing. Jesus takes this woman seriously, as I've been saying all Lent, that God is unique, the Jewish God is unique, and that this God takes us human beings seriously. He enters, he, she, it enters into dialogue with us, talks to us, argues with us. Again, keep in mind that wonderful Jewish metaphor whereby they understood the entirety of religious life to consist in this passage of the book of Genesis where Jacob wrestled with an angel in the dark. At that time, the Jews did not believe in angels. They came a long time later. So this was a kind of circumlocution for God. To wrestle for God with God in the dark. You know, this should put the skids to all kinds of fundamentalist smugness. No, it's not just fundamentalist, because I know a number of Catholics who operate on the same basis, that they know exactly what God wants. You know, God told me to do this, God told me to do that. Well, that's all nonsense, of course, and mystification, and a terrible mistake, a terrible misunderstanding of who God is and how God operates. But nevertheless, we have this Jesus talking to this woman seriously. And you'll notice in this dialogue, which was created by John, of course, because Jesus would never say, I am the Messiah. I mean, the historical Jesus would not. This is a theological embellishment of this, you know, of the life of Jesus, where people came much later on to understand him as Messiah and then later as the Son of God, and then later yet as the second person of the Trinity. That he will take this woman seriously and will not accuse her. This is the beauty of this. This is the beauty of this conversation. There's not a single accusatory word. But because he has taken her seriously, she can kind of relax. And even when he brings up this business of her somewhat shady past, she doesn't go spastic and close down as I would, or I in her position. So Jesus is always the liberating figure. Jesus is always the one who makes room for us. For us as we really are, not as for us as we'd like to pretend to be, or for us who conceal ourselves from him. And then can you imagine this woman leaving this conversation? I mean, again, it's created by John, but there had to be some historical basis for Jesus' impact on people, that he liberated them to be themselves, warts and all. Again, God love him. Francis, when he was asked after he became the Bishop of Rome, said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm a sinner." That was his first self-definition. I am a sinner. I am inadequate. Which bespeaks what? The interior freedom that Francis had. Because if I can say before God who I am, then I can certainly say before all these other bozos who I am. And I don't have to worry about it. And what I'm getting at is this is a story of a conversion. And it's the dynamics of the conversion that's important. That you take someone seriously. You free them to be themselves. You know? You don't have to conceal anything. And not only are you free before Jesus, but you're free before all these other bozos in the town. In Sychar. You're going to say, "Oh, this guy knows everything about my past." No, I'm sure she would not advertise, you know, her past to these people. Unless, again, she had been freed from the kind of self-preserving, self-serving, self-protecting dynamic that marks my life most of the time. In other words, again, relying on Francis, his favorite word, not heard from the Vatican for a long, long time, in my experience, is mercy. You do not judge people. You do not check their orthodoxy. You do not have them sign the bottom of the creed. "I believe this, I believe that." No, no, no. You just take them as they are. And taking them as they are is liberating. And that liberation we can call conversion or liberation or anything that enables us to see this is the dynamic of this season. It should be the dynamic of our life, but not particularly. This is what we ought to be concentrating on, thinking about, hoping for. Because at least that's the stage I'm in. I'm hoping for this kind of experience. I don't go to bed and say, "Oh, gee, Jesus, here I am, in the altogether." No, 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 no. I hope to get there. I hope to get there. And to pretend that I'm there already is just more fakery. So part of this liberation, as I said, the first Sunday of Lent, is to help us to know who we are. To know more profoundly who we are. And the only person we really are is a person that stands before God.